name is Marcus Reyes, and I'm very grateful to be with you today, and I'm very thankful to be at Sermon Audio that not only has been a blessing to us in Orizaba, Mexico, but to many people. I also have a lot of contact from people not only in the United States but throughout the world that have contacted me and have told me how the sermons have been a blessing also to them. And also, we have our local church in Orizaba, Mexico. It's in the state of Veracruz, and seven minutes south of the valley of Orizaba, we have the Sierra de Songolica, where there is 150,000 Nahuatl speakers, which is the descendants of the Aztecs that we're able to minister to in this place. And the first few villages close to the city have been reached through certain local churches that have been encouraged in the Lord to preach to them, evangelize to them. And also the Lord has sent my family and the local churches that we have started to minister to these people. But yet, as you continue to go into the mountain range of Songolica, there's still so many villages that have no gospel, no scriptures in the languages, no local church to preach to them, and no gospel witness. So we're very encouraged in the Lord to reach out to them, the great need of the unreached peoples. And also we've begun to plant local churches in the cities, in the valley of Orizaba. We're able to plant two local churches there. We also, the next city over in Cordoba, and also 2 hours west of us in the state of Puebla, there's a very new local church that has been planted, and we're seeking to extend the gospel in these areas, and we're very thankful for that as well. Also, one of the biggest reasons why we're so thankful with Sermon Audio is because we were able to partner with New York City Gospel Mission. And New York City Gospel Mission, which is right in the heart of the Big Apple. I was born in Brooklyn. I lived in Brooklyn. I lived in Staten Island for my first 19 years. And we're able to help the Spanish community there in New York City. And we're able to put up sermons weekly of the Gospel of John. We have just finished our 44th sermon this last week, finishing the Gospel of John, and now we'll be able to have sermons done in the Gospel of Luke to continue to feed them the Word of God and also preach the Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're very, very thankful for the wonderful opportunities that we have to be able to preach to so many people and using Sermon Audio. I'd like to give thanks to our Lord also for my family, my wife Jennifer, our 7 children as we continue to labor, and many families in Mexico that have also joined our ministry, and they also have a great heart to reach the lost and to edify the body of Christ, encourage those to study sound doctrine in our area, because in Mexico it is well known that there are very few churches that have sound doctrine, and we're just very thankful to be able to reach so many through the videos, through audio, and we thank God for that opportunity. If we could study for just a moment a passage that is dear to our heart here in Luke chapter 9, and it's the cost of discipleship. Many times we refer to ourselves as believers. Many times we refer to ourselves as children of God, and these are all wonderful things. But the Lord has also called us to be disciples. And to be a disciple is totally different from being a student, because many times a student, you listen, you sit in a classroom, and it's many times head knowledge. But a disciple not only learns from his master, but he also imitates his master. He follows, he does what his master does. And that's what the Lord has called us to do. And there's a great cost to discipleship. So I would like to encourage you with this passage here in Luke chapter 9 and in verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whatsoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And it's no secret, especially in the United States, where one is very accustomed to comforts, where they are accustomed to the joys of being at home. And many times the great obstacle that keeps us from being disciples is the fact what the Lord Jesus told this disciple. And he told, Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And he specifically said, I will follow you wherever you tell me to go. And I remember when I was studying for the ministry that I also prayed to the Lord and I said the very same thing. But many times we could say that without really knowing what's ahead. And when the Lord calls us to certain areas, immediately we feel challenged, and it's easy to make a promise at the moment, wherever you send me, Lord. But then when we call to that area, we begin to question ourselves. Well, what about my wife? Well, what about my children? What about their future? We could even consider Mark as he traveled with Paul. I'm sure he would have said the very same thing, wherever. But yet, for reasons that we do not know, Mark returned home. And the Apostle Paul became very upset about that and considered him not even worthy later when he wanted to continue the ministry. And we don't know why he returned home, but he did return back to the house where his mother lived, where they served, and it was an issue. So it's just a wonderful call. The Lord obviously doesn't call all to leave their home. He calls us all to be disciples. But in this case, even though this person was so quick to say, I will be a disciple. I will go wherever you call me to go. And the Lord Jesus Christ revealed his heart. His heart saying, there are many times that I do not have anywhere to sleep, where I can rest my head. And he mentioned it, and that would tell us, at least implicitly, that the Lord Jesus Christ knew that that would be an obstacle in his life. Also, we have another one where the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said to another, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. In the first one, it was him offering his service. But here we see the Lord Jesus Christ asking and calling another to serve him. And it says, and he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. The first issue that we could see here is the great contradiction between the title he uses as he addresses the Savior. And he says, Lord. But then right after he says, Lord, he says, suffer me first. So that's a great contradiction in terms. Just to think that Lord and me first shouldn't go together. It should be, Lord, your will be done. What you desire, what you will. But he says, me first. And that has always been and will always be one of the major obstacles to discipleship, to follow the Lord, our desire to always put ourselves first. And instead of Christ being preeminent in our personal lives, in our family, even in our local church, the desires of our own flesh continue to cry out and say, me first. And that's why it's so necessary as disciples of the Lord, not just believers, not just children, but as disciples to say, Lord, you first. I once studied a long time ago that the true secret to joy is in its initials. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. J-O-Y. And that's, and I believe that to be true. And we see that it's not only the secret to true joy, but it's a secret to true discipleship and to recognize the cost. But after he says, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father, according to Jameson, Fawcett and Brown, and other commentators, just like Luther, they all agree that his request in and of itself was nothing wrong with it. To honor, the Lord has called us to honor, to obey our parents. We see that the Lord, even when we have the widow of Nain, he, on the way that she was bearing her child, we see that he raised up her son in her pain. And many, many other examples in Scripture where to bury our parents is honorable and good and righteous. And what these commentators describe is the fact that what he was really saying is, well, wait for my father to pass away because his father was still alive. It's possible that his father was still yet very healthy. And he was saying, what he was really saying is that, well, it's important for me first for my father to pass away. Some have even argued that he was waiting for an inheritance first. Wait for my father to pass away first. And what we see in this case of discipleship is that it's not necessarily the relationship to his father that was a problem, but the discipleship has to do with time. The Lord had called him, follow me. And that calls for instantaneous, for immediate obedience and to follow the Lord. And his obstacle and what he was not willing to give up, and the biggest issue was time. He wanted to, yes, I will follow you, but later, not now. And that's one of the things that really was a challenge to his heart. And many times we may be able to call it procrastination. We may call it putting it off for another day. The delay that was in his heart. But he was not willing to follow the Lord. And yet, so many of us could be caught up into that. We could say, well, first I would like to accomplish this in my life. First I would like to... So many people say, well, let me finish school first. Let me finish this career goal first. Let me finish this first. And yet when the time comes, it's always something else. Many people have promised to serve the Lord at a certain date, at a certain time. Well, first let me marry. Well, first let me finish school. Well, first let me fulfill this goal. And when the time comes, since their heart wasn't willing to obey at the right time, when that other goal is met, it's always something else. And it's the issue of the timing of our obedience. When Christ calls us to follow him, it should be immediate. That should be our heart. And then we have his interesting statement. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And we see here that what the Lord was calling him to do was to go and for him to preach. And there would have been nothing wrong with him to return, as I had to do in my life. As I was serving, I was there in Mexico ready for years, and I received the phone call. And I received the phone call that my father had passed away, and it was a very difficult time. And it was honorable for me to return to preach at his funeral. I was able to preach to many unbelievers. But to use it as an excuse to not follow the Lord in obedience is not the heart of a disciple. And another also said, this is just like the first, where he is speaking to the Lord, and he has the same heart. Lord, I will follow thee, but, and once again the dangerous word, but, let me first, the same heart as the second, let me first, and we should never say, Lord, me first, let me first bid them farewell, which are at my home, at my house. And once again, the call of the gospel. The call of the gospel which says that we should not love neither father, nor mother, nor brother or sister, nor possessions. If we love them more than the Lord, we're not worthy of him. And that's the essence of the gospel, to love the Lord more than anyone else, more than anything else, and to follow him. And it is interesting, because many people, and the essence when it comes to following the Lord, when it comes to discipleship, when it comes to missions, when it comes to receiving a call, many are unwilling to go because of the relationships that they have with other people. And usually it's because they don't want to be far away from their parents. They don't want to be far away from their children. They don't want to be far away from their loved ones. But the Lord has called us to love the Lord, to love the gospel more than even our dear relationships that we have. Of course, we should love our parents, our children, our brothers, our sisters. But yet, something so honorable. The Lord has blessed the family, has instituted the family. Even good things, wonderful things, could hinder our obedience to the Lord. And the Lord has called us, he has, to be believers, to be his children. But the Lord has also called us to be his disciples. And there's a great cost. And it says, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And this would remind us of Elisha. When Elijah came to him in 1 Kings chapter 19, and having placed over his back his mantle, and calling him, the Lord was calling him to service. And Elisha also said, if I could read it quickly here, it's a wonderful passage that we could see here in 1 Kings. And it says, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, that is Elijah to Elisha, go back again, for what have I done to thee? Elijah really wanted Elisha to understand the greatness of our call, the high call that we all have received to serve the Lord, to serve the Lord as disciples, to count the cost, to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow him. That is the high call that we have received. And he says, go back again. Go back to your family. But before you go back, you must understand this. What have I done to thee? Well, just in the same way that the Lord used Elijah to call Elisha, he also has called us to discipleship. Through one greater than Elijah, the Lord, his son. And it says this, and he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen. So as it were, he destroyed what he used in his former life, his work. It's important to notice that he called them while he was working. But those things that he used to work were placed into the fire. And he also boiled the flesh of the oxen. He gave it unto the people, including his family. And they did eat. Then he rose and he went after Elijah and ministered unto him. In the very same way, I encourage you all to, as it says here, not even to use something as wonderful as family as an excuse to not rise up, go after, follow the Lord Jesus Christ and minister unto him and unto his people. For that is the call of discipleship, to deny ourselves, take up our cross,